Greetings in the name of the Lord. We are beginning, and we have begun, in fact, already, the study of the Epistle to the Romans. This was written by the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again. The entire Bible is the Word of God. It's not the Word of men, it's the Word of God. Whether it's history or whatever it has been inspired by God. How did these men remember history? They remembered it because it reminded them of the facts. In other words, God brought to their attention facts they might not even have known or ever experienced. The same is true for every part of the Bible. So when we approach the Word of God, we are approaching it as the Word of God. Now, men have written other books. There is also what we call in church history tradition. But tradition is not the Word of God. There is only one thing that is the Word of God, and that is the Bible itself. And everyone has this Bible. In all of the Christian religions, everyone has this Bible. This is the only one we can completely depend upon. It is not the ideas or the Word of men. Now, I say all of this because as we approach the book of Romans, we're approaching it as the Word of God. It has authority, its teaching is to be believed, and its teaching is to be followed. And when we approach it, we're to approach it with that attitude in mind. Now, today, I want to get into the text of the book. And I want to get into verse 1. I'm not going very far today. We will go much farther in future messages. But I want to just stop with verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. Turn to that with me. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 1. And verse 1 has this to say. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Now, it's very important that we understand this verse, because this introduces the one that God used to write the book, and the one who was like the pastor to these people. In other words, he was their main teacher. He was like a pastor to them, like a shepherd of the flock. Even though he'd never been to Rome, he'd never met many of these believers, nevertheless, Paul had a very close relationship with them. They trusted him. They loved him as their teacher, as their pastor, their shepherd. And so it's very important we understand a little bit about this man. Now we understand, and I want to say this very, very briefly, we understand this man's background, this man named Paul. He had come from a very, very strict Jewish background. And in fact, he had come from the very strictest of all the possible Jewish backgrounds. He had come from the background of being a Pharisee. And I want to speak respectfully of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the law keepers. They were the very strict law keepers. God had raised up the Pharisees several centuries before in a time of great decline in Israel. After the time of some of the great teachers of Israel, there had come a time of decline. And a couple of hundred years before the time of Christ, God had raised up the sect of the Pharisees. And they were the people who were going to bring the people back to the law of God, back to the law of Moses, in other words. The people had long since departed. So Paul was from this group. And Paul was a fanatic as far as the Pharisees were concerned. The Pharisees in the time of Christ were the persecutors. And I say this respectfully, but unfortunately that was true. They were the persecutors. They were the main ones that crucified the Lord. They were the main ones that demanded his crucifixion. The Romans actually did the crucifixion, but they were the main ones that demanded his crucifixion. And they were very fanatical. In the time of the apostles, when Peter and John and others were preaching, these were the ones that would cast them into the prison. They would accuse them before the Sanhedrin, the council of the Jews, and would have them cast into the prison. And so Paul stood there watching as the first martyr of the church, Stephen, was killed. And Paul was very fanatical. He believed with all his heart that these were haters of God. They were destroyers of the truth, these Christians. And so Paul became a fanatical destroyer and persecutor of the Christians. He went from city to city. He himself records that he got instructions from various priests and so forth, got permission from the high priest himself to go to various cities and cast these Christians into jail. But in Acts chapter 9, very quickly, the Apostle Paul is gloriously and wonderfully converted. It's like a tremendous miracle that this man could ever be converted, because he'd been this persecutor of the Christians. He'd been so fanatically opposed to anything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But there on the road, he saw the vision, and then he, seeing the vision of the Lord himself, was converted and turned around and became a passionate follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more a persecutor of anyone. Now his life was changed by the grace of God. He was now in relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he became a passionate preacher of the truth and a follower of the Lord Jesus. He mentions this in Acts chapters 22, 24, and 26. He mentions his conversion. He's testifying now before rulers. He's being accused by the Jews who had come from Jerusalem, and they've come over to Caesarea over on the coast to accuse him. But now he's defending himself, and he reviews how he had studied under the strictest teacher, Gamaliel. He had studied under this great Jewish teacher, a famous Jewish teacher. He had become a passionate Pharisee and then was gloriously saved by the Lord Jesus. And then in Galatians chapters 1, verses 13 to 16, and you can just write down some of these passages, Galatians 1, verses 13 to 16, the Apostle Paul tells how he was converted and the nature of his calling to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Paul's calling, of course, was to try to reach the Jews whenever he could. In every city where Paul went, in Galatia, and then finally in Europe and in other places, and then in southern Asia, Paul would go first into the synagogue and try to reach the Jews. But his main calling was a calling to reach the Gentiles, because God loved the whole world. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So because God loved the world, the Gentiles were also very dear to God. And now in the New Testament age, it's no longer just God speaking to his own people, the Jews, but now it's God also speaking and reaching out to the Gentiles. And God had a man, and that man was the Apostle Paul, to reach the Gentiles. In Philippians 3, verses 4 to 6, we also find another reference to Paul's background as a Jew. Not just his calling and his salvation, but his background as a Jew. He tells in verses 4 to 6 how passionate he had been. And in fact, he says, and he speaks very honestly when he says this, that as far as the law was concerned, he was blameless. How many people could ever say that today? How many Jewish people, and I'm speaking to Jewish people respectfully, how many Jewish people could say that they are absolutely blameless in following the law? Even the most orthodox of the Jews perhaps would not dare to say such a thing, but Paul could say it. He was blameless as far as the law was concerned. He had followed the law religiously and carefully, and he was absolutely blameless. And then he says, going on from verse 6, he goes in verses 7 to 9, and I'll be dealing with this a little bit later. But then he says that he found that none of this was sufficient to give him a true relationship with God. In other words, he was not truly blameless as far as God was concerned. As far as he knew, he had kept every point of the law, but he was still a hopeless lost sinner before God. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, even though others would consider him blameless. Now, one other thing I want to note as we go on, and that is that Paul also had a tender and a passionate relationship with the Gentile people. It was not a natural thing for a man who had been Jewish and a man who was a Pharisee among the Jews to have any relationship whatsoever with the Gentiles. And in fact, we find in Acts chapter 15, and then again in Acts chapter 19, that many of the Jews were surprised that the apostle had such a close relationship with the Gentiles. Even Peter in Galatians 2 seemed to try to admonish Paul for for having this close relationship with the Gentiles. But Paul realized the truth of the Word of God, that people are saved by grace through faith. Whether they be Jews or Gentiles, they're saved by the grace of God through faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether they be Jews or Gentiles, they are accepted perfectly by God. They are His brothers and sisters, in other words, in the Lord. If they be Jewish people, if they be Gentile people, they are still His brothers and sisters in the Lord. So in Galatians 2, verses 7 to 9, he talks about how he was a missionary now to the Gentiles and how he loved them very, very dearly. We also note that Paul considers himself, in verse 1, a servant of God. What a wonderful way of describing himself. What a humble way of describing himself. Paul, in other words, did not feel exalted. He did not feel somehow that he was better than other people. He had a very important position. Certainly he had certain authority which other people did not have. But he did not consider himself to be above other people. He calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. And this is a very wonderful thing. He speaks of this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, if you want to consider me in any way, consider me as a servant and a steward. A servant, first of all. In other words, I'm just a servant of God. I'm not trying to exalt myself before you, Corinthians. They were very critical of Paul. I'm not trying to exalt myself before you. I'm not trying to take a very high place in front of you. I'm just a servant of God. But I'm also a steward. A steward with one to whom responsibility had been entrusted. And I'm a servant of God to serve God and to carry the gospel to other people. The next word that he mentions there is, he says, I am called to be an apostle. Now the apostles were very special people. We have no apostles today. Some people claim that they are apostles, but there is no such thing today. There was a group of men whom Jesus gathered around him. They were called the disciples and later called the apostles. There were 12 of them. Then, of course, as we know, one of them defected. One of them betrayed the Lord. That was Judas. And Judas betrayed the Lord, and he was removed. He died, in fact. He committed suicide, we read. And then following that, the apostles tried to choose a 12th man. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, they tried to choose number 12 again to take the place of Judas, but we believe he was not the man that God wanted. In other words, this was simply the worry of the apostles that they would be found without that 12th man. So they chose a man named Matthias, or Matthias, however you want to pronounce his name. And we believe that Paul is that 12th apostle, that in every sense of the word, God called him to be that apostle. And he was God's man, in other words. Now the apostles had authority, and I just want to deal with this in just a very, very brief moment. The apostles had certain authority, and this authority was not only authority in writing the Word of God by the inspiration of God, but it was also the authority to instruct people and even to command people. Sometimes Paul had to speak very, very sharply. You look at the book of Corinthians, for instance, and this is an example of Paul speaking very sharply, using his authority as an apostle. In the book of Corinthians, there are 12 different problems the Corinthians had. No other church had problems like some of these. They had problems of immorality, of disunity, every possible imaginable problem these Corinthians had. And the Apostle Paul is having to speak to them very, very firmly and with great authority. In other words, authoritatively, if you want to use that word. He's having to speak to them with great authority. And he had the authority to speak to them. Now in 2 Corinthians, they tried to diminish his position as an apostle. This was the only way they could get around his teaching. They tried to diminish his position as an apostle. They tried to say, well, you're not comparable with Peter. You're not comparable with John. Of course he was, even though he was called later. Even many, many months after those men were called. Nevertheless, he had the same authority they did. He was the 12th apostle. And so Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And this was very important. Then, of course, he was separated under the gospel of God. He was called. It is a great honor to be called by God to serve Him. I remember when I was 16 years of age and God called me to the ministry. I have never forgotten this. For 52 years, beginning when I was already, well, I won't tell you what age I was, when I was already much older, I finally went to the mission field. And for 52 years as a missionary, it has been an honor to serve God, a privilege to serve God, to be called by God. So Paul says, I was separated unto the gospel of God. This is my whole life. I'm dedicated to it. I will never do anything else except this. Until I die, I will always be separated unto the gospel of God. Now, I'm going to have to close with this. But this gives you an idea now of the man who is writing the book. He's speaking to these Roman believers now, and even some unbelievers if they're reading this book. And he's speaking to them. He's speaking with authority. He's speaking as an apostle. He's speaking with great love and great tenderness. And I trust that as you listen to this series of messages, as we get deeper and deeper into the book, again, you will have a tender and open and willing heart. And by God's help, you will act upon any truth that God reveals to you. May the Lord bless you, each one.